howdy, everybody, and welcome to the 14th ever Horror Roundtable. By God, that's unbelievable. Isn't it?
Yeah, my God, I would make some sort of joke about the number, but there's really no sequel that I can think of that went to 14 that I can mock.
WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, that's not really a sequel to a movie or anything, though.
Well, we're not. This is in the movie. This is a roundtable, and this roundtable we have the legendary Terror of Hueysville. Crater, Christopher Crater Prater. What's going on, brother?
Hi, boss.
Hi, Crater.
What's going on?
How are you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm sitting here drinking my Food Club root beer.
Shit.
And, of course, the Euro cult master himself, the Louisville Slugger, Steve Benningfield. How you doing, Steve?
I'm all right.
The Louisville Slugger and Tugger.
Slugger and Tugger.
Hey,
if I can't hit you, I'll grab you.
Yeah.
Tug on it for us, Steve.
So.
All right.
We have a multitude of topics, hopefully, to talk about on this roundtable, the 14th ever Horror Roundtable. And the first thing I want to mention is, and I know Steve's a big fan of these movies because he studies them and tries to, you know, teach himself how to do this sort of thing. The rape revenge films.
Oh, God. Yeah, Steve's a big fan of rape revenge.
Yeah.
And it seems that over the last couple of years, there's been a little bit of a resurgence of the rape revenge subgenre. I don't even know if you want to call that horror or exploitation or whatever. We've seen The Last House on the Left remake come out. We've seen I Spit on Your Grave remake just came out. And on the week that Last House on the Left hits Blu-ray, the original Last House on the Left, I figured this would be a good topic to discuss. Do you think, like, that there's a place for these films nowadays? Because to me, it just seems like they're more of a tamed-down version of what the original was. You don't really get a lot of the hardcore sex and violence that you had in the original film.
All right. Well, I mean, to be honest, I watched the new I Spit on Your Grave, and the rape scenes are still brutal in that. I mean, pretty surprising that, you know, they not as brutal as the original, but still pretty dang brutal. And so, I mean, they still make them. I don't know if people will be able to take some of it.
Yeah, I mean, there. It just seems like to me they're a little bit more of the ones that I've seen. I haven't seen the I Spit on Your Grave one yet, but it just seems like they're not really. I mean, they are sort of rape revenge movies, but they're not. They're sort of like G-rated versions of what the original.
Well,
were.
Those movies really only work to me if they're on DVD or something like that. Like, because that's the reason those movies are actually. Or were successful at one time, I think, is because they're like the worst possible thing you can think of happening come to life. And you don't really feel comfortable watching something like that around a big group of people. Because, I mean, you're going to have reactions to it that you probably wouldn't feel comfortable sharing with a theater full of people. You probably want to watch that shit at the house and just be like a little troll sitting there. Oh, God, I'm going to get raped. I'm going to watch it. But, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's not... It's not like a Star Wars summer blockbusters kind of movie that you want to watch with a group.
It is me.
Yeah, Crater does.
Wow.
So, are you, I don't even know if Crater's a fan of these sort of movies. If you, I know you're more. Into the...
Honestly, I like some. You know, I'm just not like a whole lot of them. Just like a few. You know, like, just, I really like most of the cult ones, like Last House on the Left, Savage Streets, you know, Miss 45.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I'm surprised, like, Savage Streets would actually be a good one to attempt to remake. I'm surprised they haven't done that yet, because that is one that's not really that well known. But,
what I want to know is, okay, all those movies are coming back in some way or another, either on DVD or to the theaters. What the hell happened to the prison movies? Like, you don't ever see those on anymore.
Steve loves them, too.
Like, Caged Heat.
Women in prison.
Yeah, the women in prison movies. Like, you never ever see those done anywhere anymore.
Actually, I seen one come out of like you know, one of the old, like, before Brunei Matei died, he made another one, I think.
Really?
I don't know. I it's some weird stuff. It's off a Russian DVD or something, but it's basically in the style of the old ones.
He probably made like a rape, like prison rape movie on his deathbed or something. We want more ass and we want more violence on this.
Oh man. I think though that there's a lot of different elements they could explore in women in prison movies, isn't it? I mean, there's so many different ways you can go with that concept.
Hells yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one thing, I mean, we really don't need a movie. We can watch MSNBC. They have Lockup and they have women's prisoners on there all the time. So you can see the real thing.
Them damn women on there look tougher than like anybody I've ever seen. Yeah. Here.
Those women I don't actually fantasize about though. Like I want a women in prison movie where I fantasize about what's gonna happen. Not, I'm afraid they're gonna break my dick off and hit me in the head with it.
Yeah, you don't want women that look like Mark Henry.
Yeah, I don't want a woman that's her nickname is called Heavy D. I don't want to hang out with
her. Sexual baby.
So either one of you guys want to go with the next topic of discussion?
I'll go. I was thinking, and I mean, since there's movies coming out, kind of retro movies, so to some degree, is there a certain genre or besides horror, of course, but a certain genre or a subgenre you like to see in the movies again?
Yeah, I mean, and this is actually one of my questions that I had on here, but I guess this would be a good enough place to put this in. Would be just the old school, like, action films, and more specifically, like, the martial arts films, because we were watching, like, Bloodsport. We watched that last night on Blu-ray, and then Kickboxer and some of those movies. Like, they don't ever make any kind of movies like that for mainstream. And when they do, it's, like, UFC fighting. That's the only kind that they make. And there's, like, one or two of those that came out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the closest thing we've got, like, I was thinking about ninja movies, too, like, in the 80s. There's all kinds of, like, weird, just, you know, subgenres of action movies, and a lot of them were made in like Hong Kong or Thailand or wherever, these little countries. And I think Ninja Assassin was one that was sort of similar to like the old school ninja movies and stuff. But like the ninja genre is one, and I actually think the cannibal movies, I'd love to see like a resurgence in those, but it just seems like the ones that they try now, I don't know. They don't have the same feel to them. I think like a lot of the cannibal movies that we always harken back to are the ones from like the late 70s, early 80s.
I don't think they could ever top Cannibal Holocaust unless they actually ate somebody for real on camera. Like there's nothing that you could do.
Like, yeah, they would peel the skin off on camera and fry it.
I'm really into like the old holiday, like, horror movies. They made, like, based around, like, different holidays and stuff. Like, they made back in the 80s and stuff. And I wish they'd come back, you know, do a lot more of those. And, like, you know, how they did, like, back in the 80s, they did, like, all the Silent Night, Deadly Nights, and, you know, and all the different Halloween.
Yeah, I think they've really about run out of holidays now, though, unless they want to do, like, I don't know, Veterans Day or something like that.
Veterans Day would be awesome.
Arbor Day.
They did do Earth Day. We have Earth Day.
Did they really?
We haven't reviewed it yet, though.
But I'm just saying they could do like more like movies based around like say Valentine's Day or something, you know.
Well, yeah, and they did at one time they did Valentine. That movie was awesome. We all know that.
I mean, oh yeah, it made my Peter puke a little bit.
but I was going to ask though, like, is there any action stars left that people that you actually enjoy watching today? Because back then you had Steven Seagal, Chuck Norris, Van Damme, Arnold, Sylvester Stallone. You know, I mean, the list probably goes on and on with like lesser named people. But I mean, who are the people now like that, like that are the big name action stars that people enjoy watching?
Well, I don't know if you still count him as like an action star, but because he was recently in a kind of action movie called Red, you know, Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
I guess he is pretty active still.
Yeah, he's sort of in that old school, though, like where he still does them every once in a while. And, like, I think the one guy that could have been, but for some reason he just made some of the awfulest decisions on earth as far as taking films, would be Vin Diesel. Like, he's like the last one I can think of as sort of like the old school action star, but then he started doing
He did. He shit all over his own career.
He started doing these stupid comedies and shit. And The Rock is another one that it just seems like he's off doing his other comedies and shit.
Well, these fuckers always end up making, like, children's comedies, it seems like.
Yeah. Like, Rock went from doing Doom to Race to Witch Mountain or something.
Yeah.
And the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
I did hear that that new movie that he had out was really good, though. Like, that was the best movie that he'd ever done.
Oh, or was it called?
Driven or something like that.
Faster.
Or Faster.
Faster, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I heard that was a really good movie, but I haven't seen
it. What do you think, though, Steve? You're a pretty big action star. Like, what were your – you got anybody that you'd say lives up to those people?
Well, I mean, like you were talking about martial arts movies and stuff like that. Michael J. White or whatever, he made a couple of action movies. He produced and produced one called Blood and Bone, and all these things went to DVD. He did one movie called Undisputed 2. And then Undisputed 3 was with the villain from the previous movie. So those movies, I'd probably say check them out because they're kind of like the throwback to those late 80s movies.
Yeah, and he the one that played Tyson in the HBO series that time?
I didn't catch that one.
Okay, I think he's the same guy I'm thinking of, yeah.
He's like a, well, he looks like a Billy Blank's guy,
yeah,
doesn't he?
I don't know if you guys are into the Asian like action stars like you know the movie The Ong Bak.
Mhm.
Well, he's gone crazy, dude. He's gone.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, he's a monk now. He decided he's
Nah, damn.
Well.
Tony Jaa.
That was a good movie though.
Yeah, yeah. But to anybody wondering out there, they were talking about Kickboxer earlier. If you're a fan of Kickboxer and you have Blu-ray and stuff, you definitely need to pick up the new, I think it's Time Cop and Kickboxer double feature.
Bloodsport.
What did I say?
Kickboxer.
Bloodsport.
Yeah, Bloodsport on Blu-ray looks 1,000 times better than it really should. I mean, considering it's so cheap.
Well, if you have the Bloodsport DVD, you'll notice a huge difference in the Blu-ray.
But, I mean, everybody knows that the best action star of the 80s was Philip Rhee. I think that we could all agree on that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Philip Rhee's an amazing performer.
He's not Billy Lone Wolf's brother anymore. He's Philip Rhee.
He's his own man. I'm proud of him. So, next topic, Ferris.
We can talk about the convention season coming up.
Well, let's bust it loose then with the big convention thing.
What show are you most excited to see, Crater?
Samuel Wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
No, I don't. Horror Hound looks amazing, you know, because it looks like it's the best it's been since, you know, I started going to conventions, like. And,
I'm just really happy that I think this year we'll get a chance to meet Argento and Carpenter.
And possibly one or two
others.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And the Fonz.
Yeah, and the Fonz.
True.
I'm going to get him to sign something from the water boy because I don't give a shit about Happy Days at all.
You got to get your
I want him to sign A.
He's like Gatorade.
I think, though, like, I haven't talked to Nathan in a little while, though, but I think the Horror Hound is far from being, like, a finished guest lineup. I think that they're going to add at least two or three big, like, you know, not maybe not bigger than Argento, but right up there, you know, with, you know, guest of honor caliber people.
Yeah, and I guess Carpenter, of course, is going to be at Fright Night, hopefully. And... what else is left? You got, like, Monster Mania, which I never go to, which is always a big
Monster Mania is the one that's having, they're having the big Friday the 13th thing again. That's basically the
Sean
one
Sean Cunningham's going to be at that.
Yeah, that's the one that's shitting all over the Texas Fear Fest. Whatever, you know, what was supposed to happen or what one guy thinks is still going to happen, but nobody else. So.
One man's dream.
One man. One convention.
Oh, shit. Let's
no
see.
Fans.
And then there's Texas Frightmare Weekend, which is always a pretty good show.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Days of the Dead show?
I haven't really looked at that one that much.
Well, they've got a pretty good lineup, I got to say. I mean, isn't that
Hopper the Hopper and
aren't Gary they have? Busey. Yeah, Gary Busey is going to be there at that one, so that's pretty fucking cool.
I wonder what he's like in person. Has anybody had any experience?
Everybody says he's like freaking crazy and he's like rude to everybody, but like if you're the advantage is if you're a chick, like he'll hit on you no problem.
So he's like Tom Savini then.
The I'm interested in seeing though, like, because from what I understand, Horror Hound is actually doing three shows this year, unless things have changed. I mean, there's the schedule is they're going to do the one in Cincinnati in November again, but they're going to do yet another one in Cincinnati sometime in June, I think. But I don't know if that's finalized or
really?
Not. Yeah, that's what I'd heard. So there's going to be a lot of fucking shows in this area, and that's just like. And I love the Horror Hound shows and everything, and I love going to conventions, period. But, like, I don't know. I think, like, there's, for some reason, there's just a ton of shows in this one little area, you know? I mean, I don't know. I think that they could be overkilling it a little bit.
I figure they would have tried to, you know, went back and done another show in Pittsburgh or something, you know?
I think
trying to do two shows in Cincinnati.
I think the one they did in Pittsburgh was a massive bomb, though. Nobody really.
Oh,
they
okay.
They didn't have a big turnout for that.
They could do it in Detroit, but they'd all be murdered. You mean when they said they were going to do that?
Yeah. I just think it's amazing, though, because when we started doing conventions, probably about 5 years ago, regularly, I guess, every year.
We thought we'd shit our pants when Fright Night came along.
Yeah, because Fright Night was it, you know. I mean, that was the only convention for at least a couple of years until I think Horror Hound came along in Indianapolis and then Scarefest came along. And
I mean, at
Days
this,
of the Dead coming along now.
At this point, is there anybody left that anybody really wants to see? I mean, as far as like that has never been scheduled for a convention?
What about Coscarelli?
No, he's done. Mm-hmm. He's done Horrifying. And,
oh, did he?
Yeah, a couple more.
Peter Bark.
I don't
if he's
think
still
he's ever,
alive.
I don't think he's ever done anything.
We need to get Peter Bark for an interview.
What about Olivia Hussey? Does she do shows?
Yeah, she's done.
She's done a few.
A couple.
I think she did the Fangoria shows. She doesn't do a whole lot, though. Like, there's some, a lot of the people in L.A. will do, like, the, well, of course, they're not the Fangoria shows now. They're, like, the Creation Entertainment shows or whatever. But you'll get a lot more people in the L.A. shows than you will, you know, somebody coming to Cincinnati or Indianapolis or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody wants to meet that is not out, that's like outside the horror realm, like as far as just cult guests and stuff like that?
Jim Kelly.
Shit. From the Bills?
No, Jim Kelly from Enter the Dragon.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh.
Which one was Jim Kelly?
The black one.
Shit.
The black one.
He's from Kentucky.
Okay. That's a good one. I'd like to actually meet Bolo Young, but that's never happened.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Do you know, though, that like I was talking to Ken Daniels about Fright Night, and we were talking about The Walking Dead because he's bringing in like some of the zombies from The Walking Dead this year.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that Robert Kirkman, the guy that wrote the comic or whatever, that's behind the whole story of the comic and stuff, actually lives in Lexington, but he will not go to any shows aside from like,
yeah, I know.
I think he'll go to like one in L.A. and then the Dragon Con show or something like that. And that'd be it. He won't go to any more of them.
Hell, he could walk out his door and go to Scarefest, couldn't he? Why not?
He won't. I don't know why, but.
Because, like, in the comic, the main character, Rick, is from Kentucky, but they don't state that in the TV show. And he's supposed to be based off the writer, Robert Kirkman. And, I don't know.
I think that'd be a really cool guest if they could convince him to do a show. But
I'm sure somebody's working on it as we speak.
I think they've already been trying, but we'll have to wait and see. But Uncle Bill, have you got a topic up here, buddy? Come
sure.
on.
Sure. The thing is, this is one of the very few roundtables we've ever done where I know everybody on here is like a massive wrestling fan. So I figured since it's the eve of Royal Rumble, let's talk about favorite wrestling pay-per-views then. Like, just in general.
Hell in Havoc.
Just the whole fucking pay-per-view or a specific year?
All of the year. All of them.
Yeah, he must mean all of them then.
You mean just the pay-per-view in itself, the name and all that?
Yeah, just the theme of it and everything.
Well, it does seem to be one that, like, because the WWE is always trying to think of good gimmicks for pay-per-views and stuff like that. I mean, why don't they do that in October? Like, what the fuck is it? I don't even know. I think bragging rights or something like that. Is there?
Well, see, the thing is, like, I was reading on something on WrestleZone the other day, it's a wrestling news site, talking about how they're thinking about doing a Halloween Havoc t-shirt soon for the WWE shop. So, I mean, that could lead to WCW stuff that they got, like, for their, like, downloads on the new SmackDown game, all their shirts they got on their store right now. It's all, like, their best-selling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, their most downloaded stuff on the game and all that. Like, and that with that Nitro Arena coming out soon, the next package on the game and, like, WCW is like going to be a big like buyer thing for WWE, and I don't get why they don't cash in on that because what they're doing, the Nitro DVD soon, DDP hosting that.
I think the way they're looking at it is they're in it for the long haul. I mean, they've got all the time in the world to eventually release all the WCW shows on DVD and the Nitros on DVD, and they're just going to, I guess they're going to release the best of Nitro to see how it does. And, if it does as well as we think it'll do, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll release all the episodes eventually and stuff like that.
It's like security for them. They'll never, ever go out of business just based on their back catalog of stuff they could possibly sell.
Yeah.
I mean, they could make that go on for years. They could say, I mean, they haven't even begun to really scrape the ECW stuff either, what they could sell.
Right.
Well, they're using a lot of that for their on-demand channel right now. I mean, that's basically all they're using is like old ECW and WCW and then WWF stuff.
Since they're already planning to do a Best of Nitro DVD, do you think they'll do a Best of Thunder?
That'd be like two shows, isn't it?
Hey, Thunder was good, man.
It'd be like half an hour.
I remember even when, like, Thunder came out, when it first came out, watching it, like, the very first couple weeks and thinking it sucked. I can only imagine what I think of it now. Like, God damn
it. I'd actually heard.
I don't know, it's just like some Jericho, he, like, did some of the most hilarious promos on Thunder, and that's just why I want to see it. That's why I wanted to watch Thunder.
I will say that Jericho around that time was probably the best that he ever was, including, like, WWF at any time.
Had it not been for
fat guy with him, Ralphus, that had no teeth.
Security. Yeah. That was his security.
I think I saw him at the flea market the other day.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, about Thunder that I don't know if a lot of people know or not, like, Thunder was sort of doomed from the get-go because originally Thunder was supposed to be NWO's show. You remember when they were breaking off of the brand and they had the NWO sold out pay per view, which was all in black and white. It was actually a really cool like pay per view, and at that point they were thinking they were going to make NWO sort of like the brand split with SmackDown and Raw, But
what they was going to do is like remember like the week before Starrcade '97, they like tore the whole set down and they made it like NWO Nitro.
Yeah, I think
was going to be NWO show and Thunder was just going to be the WCW show.
I don't think they really knew what was going to be what, to be honest, because like that, how everything was like a big clusterfuck. But I know that they were going to split the brands up, and but for some reason they didn't do that. And of course, that was the B show for WCW for a few years. I never really watched Thunder, to be honest. I mean, I watched like the first month or two of the shows, and then I just realized.
I was real big into the cruiserweight division, and like they they showcase them a lot on Thunder. And
Steve, do you think we'll see a Best of Thunder DVD?
Yeah, right after we get the Best of ECW on the National Network.
God, that'd be the worst set ever, I think.
The Best of AM Raw.
Best of Velocity. Yeah.
And Afterburner.
The Best of WWF Jacked.
The Best of WWF Confidential.
Confidential was actually really cool, though. I always liked
Which
that.
One was it where they called in? Like, people could actually really call in. They kept getting...
Livewire.
Is that Livewire? Yeah. They kept getting
bombed.
They
called in when Farouk was on there, and he goes, this dude goes, "You're Ron Simmons."
And you know what?
Like back there, goes, I ain't that guy no more. I'm Farouk.
Paul Heyman, actually.
Do you remember that show WWF had called Action Zone?
Yeah, barely. I think it like replaced All American Wrestling or something like that.
Yeah, I can't. I think that's what it was, but yeah, but it was like, God, it's so shitty.
Yeah, they had like a ton of like awful fucking WWF like B shows in the early 90s and mid 90s. Like, I can't even remember all of them.
You know, that stuff's still on. I've seen it online for you to watch. So it's there's still like Afterburner and all this other crazy stuff that I guess are for foreign markets or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, who knows? I know there was like the last shows that I remember were
Velocity,
Bottom Line, and shit like that. Like, I don't even. Yeah, I've never seen them, but
I'm thinking though that you ever noticed today's pay per views, and you'll probably notice this later on when you watch this one. They're like. None of the angles ever fucking get resolved on any of the pay-per-views anymore, which used to be the place where you would go to see, like, how things would actually get resolved, and they'd move on to something else and, like, change the, you know, it would eventually shift over to another angle or something like that. But now it seems like they just drag the shit on, like, fucking hell. Like, how many different ways can John Cena and fucking Nexus and all this stuff, and then you're going to have Randy Orton?
That was the dumbest resolution to, like, Cena and Barrett's like feud was that he had to drop 30 chairs on the guy for him to get a point.
That's right, buddy.
I think a problem also is just like the fact that they have so much to do every week. Like, you've got how many hours of shows every week? I mean, you've got the two main shows, it's 4 hours. Then you got like Superstars is another hour, and you also have the NXT show, and then they're going to have Tough Enough. Is starting back, like, after WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Stone Cold's going to be one of the trainers, too.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's pretty cool. I just think, like, as opposed to, like, back in the day, to where, like, the most amount of TV they had a week was, like, maybe 2-3 hours a week, and that was it. And then, like, the pay-per-views, you only had one pay-per-view every 3 or 4 months, as opposed to a pay-per-view every month now.
Yeah, and the pay-per-views really aren't that big of a deal now for anybody. There's so many of them.
The pay-per-view business is in the shitter right now, too, from what I understand. I mean, they need to... I think they really need to just cut back on it.
No, they said they're going to do at least 13, so they're not going to cut back at all.
Well, the problem is, though, is like their angles and stuff are really suffering because of it. I mean, and it seems like every pay-per-view, they have a fucking title change, too, like which completely... You know, loses the value of all the belts, really. I think the tag divisions, like, you might as well just get rid of the fucking tag division.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're talking about, like, different pay-per-views and stuff. You know, like, how some people say that, like, WCW Starrcade was, like, WWF WrestleMania?
Right.
Well, I didn't see it that way. I always saw Super Brawl as, like, WCW's WrestleMania.
Well, really, probably when you were watching WCW, though, like, I don't even know if they really, like, towards the end there, poor, like, last 4 or 5 years, WCW's, none of their pay-per-views really seemed like anything special.
But what I mean is, like, you know how, like, WrestleMania had, like, WrestleMania 1, 2, 3, like, Super Brawl was always like that. It had, like, Super Brawl 1, 2, 3, like, it just seemed like, it was very similar.
Yeah.
I guess that they were just making that comparison because Starrcade was supposed to be the biggest
I show guess, and plus you got the shot, like the title shot at World War III, and then, or if you won the Battle Royal at World War III, then you went on the Starcade.
Now, that's a, speaking of that, that's a concept that needs to come back. We've talked about that before, too. World War III. I'm not joking. That's a fucking awesome pay-per-view right there.
Well, I don't think they could, do that with the Royal Rumble, too. That's too similar.
Fuck the Royal Rumble. Replace it with World War III.
That was, man, that was a fucking awful pay-per-view to watch, though.
It was, but they didn't do it right, though. Boy, they fucked up on the camera and the camera angles and stuff like that when they tried to do it. I think they could do it better today when they got, like, a better idea of what they're doing.
Well, they had, to anybody out there that don't remember World War III, it was three rings and a total of, like, I think it was 60 wrestlers.
60 men.
Yeah. And when they were all in the ring, like, they didn't come out there one at a time like they do in the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. All them motherfuckers were already out there, right. If I remember, right? So, when it started, nobody could, it was just fucking chaos. It was like, fuckers like everywhere. And to see everything, of course, you had to have three different split screens, and that's how they did the fucking, camera work, and you, unless you had a big fucking TV, you couldn't tell shit.
Well, the one thing that they did that I thought was kind of shitty that they could have easily improved on is they had, like, one ring was next to another ring, but they were complete, like, separate rings. They closed them off. So you had to, like, step over one ring to get into the other one. Why don't they just make it, like, one big fucking ring?
Yeah.
Or, like, you could run.
And the rules were, like, when it got down to 20 men, they all had to move into one ring and then go at it again.
See, that's stupid. Like, you never stop the action. You know, you shouldn't never do that. That's retarded. That's much like, you guys remember the Battle Bowl.
Oh, the Battle Bowl was awful. Yeah.
Which they did that for like 3 years or something. It was, yeah.
They had it up until like 96, and they stopped. So DDP was the last one to win it.
Well, I think the last couple of years they did it, it wasn't even on pay-per-view either, though.
It was my understanding that the first time they did it, too, it was real. Like that they had actually choose the...
It was, yeah.
The entrance, they had no idea who was going to actually be in the thing at what, like, entry or anything like that.
Yeah, it was legit. Like, I know
that's
at least the
dumbest fucking idea I've ever heard. Do that.
I got a question for you. I don't know. I don't think they even have this WWE has this pay-per-view anymore, but because they started calling it the Bash. I'm like, when did they start hating America? What happened to the Great American Bash?
Vince just hates America. He didn't want anything to do with it.
I hate America. You're fired, America.
Yeah, I don't think they'd do that pay-per-view now, but yeah, I remember when they just called it the Bash.
I think they stopped doing that pay-per-view when Hogan got knocked out with rocks. Or wait a minute, was that?
No, that was Road Wild.
That was Road Wild, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that was a good concept for a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I like that idea, but... Of course, like there was always shit that went wrong around a bunch of drunken fucking bikers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You can never expect the hope for the best, that crew. But I guess we can move on, although it's always fun to talk about wrestling. I want to talk about, like, okay, a lot of the classic filmmakers that everybody, we were talking about Carpenter earlier, and Wes Craven, and Toby Hooper, and George Romero, and all these guys. Like, a lot of them, and I know Carpenter's coming out with a new movie this year, as is Craven, and I think Romero, I don't know if Romero's working on one or not, but...
Let's hope not.
Do these guys, like, should, in your opinion, should all these guys just call it a career and just preserve their name, you know, their integrity as a filmmaker, or should Toby Hooper come out with, like, Mortuary 2?
Is that the only two choices? Like, they have to either quit or come out with shit like Mortuary 2?
Well, because that seems like that's all they're doing. Like, the Romero Survival of the Dead, man, that was just like, if the guy can't get a budget to make something that at least looks like it could be projected on a movie theater instead of being on, like, a sci-fi channel, I think you should just quit. Just my opinion.
Right. Well, I could say that for, you know, some of them. I think they should just, you know, hang up the boots or whatever and then, you know, stop making films. But, like, for some of them, I kind of want to wait, like, on Scream 4. I want to see how that goes and The Ward and see how it's turned out first before I make any judgments.
I'm just curious. Did you see My Soul the Tape, Crater?
What?
Did you see the Craven movie, My Soul to Take?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'd be interested in hearing what you thought about that.
Yeah.
But I've heard it's horrible, so, like.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's so bad, it's like Troll 2 bad in a way. Like, he almost purposely made it to
I like Troll 2, so.
When I think about that question, though, it's like, well, if all those guys retire and they start making movies, then who does that leave left to be making the movies? You got Adam Green, Eli Roth, and, like, the people that make horror movies now are fucking awful.
Well, they like to start internet campaigns, make themselves a big deal. Let's start a campaign for this piece of shit.
There's a few, there's a very, very few.
I made a shitty movie. They don't want to put it out. Let's start a campaign on it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you still got some like potential out there, like Michael Dougherty.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a very few amount of guys that are actually cult directors that direct just certain like horror films or sci-fi films or stuff like that. And like, I don't even mind like Alexander Aja and what's the guy, the little Chinese guy?
James Wan.
James Wan, yeah.
Miniature Asian dude.
I guess he's Australian, but I call him little Chinese guy. You know, I mean, there's still a couple guys out there that do it and do it well, but if all those guys, the old school guys, were to retire, I think it's just better that they just keep making and trying at least to make something halfway decent.
Well, you know, the thing is, the way I look at it is, man, and when we started the show, we were looking forward to all these guys' movies. But now they've just tainted themselves so much. And I don't even know if I want to put Carpenter in that. We'll just wait and see with Ward, because he hasn't really made anything in such a long time.
Right.
But like Toby Hooper, we were excited to see Mortuary. I remember like we were viewing stuff on the show and people were talking about it and like early on the show. And it's just such a big letdown. I'm just sick of being let down by these guys.
My question is, what is it about today, like the modern era, that makes it impossible for them to make good films? Like all of them.
I mean, back in the day, they had more freedom because they were doing it at either a low budget or, you know. So, I mean, once you have to work within that system of Hollywood and, you know, accountants telling you how much money and people rushing you to get it out, have to get it done at this time. Hopper took a year and a half or something to make Chainsaw. So, I mean, they got a timeline. You got a bunch of people in behind the scenes making a movie. If they went back to the old way they were doing it, where they were actually super low budget and not really answering to anybody above them, then we may have some more creativity.
I wonder if it's just it has something to do with the fact too that they don't really have anything left to prove anymore. They don't really have any ambition to make memorable now.
I think they're probably burnt out too. Like, I mean, all the stories they had, I mean, they probably already told. And the thing, like you were talking about who's left out there, and there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of guys, like Lucky McKee's another one that is just a really talented filmmaker. But like, it just seems now more and more like these studios would rather give the opportunities to these guys that have no experience making films at all. These guys that have made, just really short, like, you know, music video stuff or just really short art movies or whatever, that are more or less like yes guys that'll do whatever they're told. And they just don't have any, creative leeway with the producers or anything. And that seems to be what is coming out. You know, the prime example of that would be the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, where like it was just completely void of any kind of like, you know, artistic vision at all. Like it was just like pretty much, this is what we want, and that was what was out there, you know.
Except for Nimrod Annel. That guy's a genius.
Well, Nimrod is on the chain.
Yeah. But let's transition it over there. Who's next?
I think it's Steven.
Steven. Did you pass out, Steve?
Yeah, but I just woke up.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I see a lot, you know, speaking of to build on that previous topic, I mean, I've seen a lot of great stuff come out of, like, Norway and some other places. I mean, it seems like, well, for gore, I mean, Japanese cinema, I mean, they have, like, what was it, Tokyo Gore Police, you know, a bunch of other stuff. It's super gory. And then you got some great slashers that came out of Norway, Code Prey and then Code Prey 2 that I, you know, I've watched recently. So, I mean, it seems like more that, to me, I think if you watch movies just from, you know, America, you're cheating yourself because, you know, to me, that's very rarely do you get somebody who's got a certain style to them, you know, the overseas, they, you know, they, that may be a norm for their cinema, but when we watch something from Norway or like, Let the Right One In or something like that, you get to see a different style. You know, I didn't know if you guys have any comments on that or observations.
Well, I think the only people that really make artistic horror films anymore are coming from overseas. I think American filmmakers completely just don't have the ability or don't want to even try, or maybe the studios won't let them try to make anything that's not completely literal in the way that it's put up. Like, if you'll notice, all the things that became really popular in the United States for a long time, they were like torture porn and just straightforward, brutal kind of filmmaking with no hidden meaning or really no meaning in it whatsoever. And then on the other side of it, all the films that came out of overseas, and I think that's why I probably liked them a little bit more than the other stuff, were stuff that actually did have some metaphor, some sort of meaning to them, like the Let the Right One In and Martyrs and all those films that came out. And I don't know why, I don't think American audiences as a whole want to see anything like what comes overseas.
Well, that's definitely true if you look at Let Me In compared to you know, Let the Right One In, which is a huge hit overseas, and is a prime example of what the fuck is wrong with the films here in the United States. Because I just watched Let Me In last night, and oh, man, it's like somebody just fucking watched the original movie and just pretty much tried to make a carbon copy of that without adding any fucking thing new to it at all.
Yeah.
Other than the fact, like, I don't think that it was set in Sweden or wherever, you know.
No.
But that was really the point, wasn't it? I mean, they tried to copy it and put it out over here to emulate the success that it had, but it just didn't work because nobody over here wants to see movies like that.
Well, I mean, and save yourself a fuckload of money. Just release the goddamn original movie over here. How is that so fucking difficult, you know?
They just think they – I mean, any foreign movie, you know – I was surprised when I went to a big theater and saw Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and it was subtitled. I thought that was amazing, and it was a full theater. I thought that was crazy, but I mean, as far as, you know, like High Tension made it over here, I think that they don't think that people want to read subtitles at a movie theater, and, you know, sometimes they're right, and then also they don't think people will accept a dub movie because they think that would look, or you know, that kind of looks a little off. So they're probably not going to be high on dubbing either. So I'm not. That's my opinion of why some of those don't get released. And like you say, it's kind of ridiculous to make a shot-for-shot remake of something just to put it in English.
Yeah, and it goes back to the fact that they don't want to take a chance with anything. Like, which is so weird considering how stale things are right now. Yeah. You'd think that, like, the only thing left to do is really take a chance on films, but they're doing the exact opposite. Like, anything that makes money, they try to rip that off like a million times, and they keep trying and trying to just do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like to me that they're taking more of a chance sticking with that same fucking formula that's not working. Yeah, I mean, it's simply... Like, what was the last big remake that was actually a big hit at theaters? Like, the Elm Street remake didn't even do that well, you know.
I mean, I guess Friday the 13th did okay, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, Nightmare on Elm Street did really good, didn't it?
I don't know. I don't know how it did.
I mean, I'm sure it did okay, but I don't remember it right, like really setting the world on fire or anything, because it got pretty much... panned by everybody. Like, I don't think anybody really put that movie over. But it just seems like that's what they're still sticking with. They're clinging to whatever they can get, you know, remake-wise, like an old Hellraiser, which, you know, I mean, if it's done correctly, it could be a moneymaker, but it won't be done correctly. Let's face it.
No, I dread seeing that fucking movie. I really do. Because I'm sure the only thing they'll concentrate on in that movie at all is the gore aspects of it, like the Cenobites and the chains and all that shit, and they, I have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, mama. Oh.
Philip Ree.
Philip Ree.
So, who's up next?
I think it's me.
Come on, Crater.
So, just to venture off a little bit more from horror, like we did earlier, what are, like, some of the, like, television shows that you're following or you think that are coming up that's going to be a big hit in the future or something?
Mm-hmm. Uncle Bill would be a bad one to ask about this.
Mm. Well,
no, actually, I guess you do watch some stuff.
There's really two that I follow with any kind of consistency, I guess. That would be Dexter and The Walking Dead. I think The Walking Dead will probably end up being the best series on television by the next season. I love that series. And there's a lot of people on the board that are, like, completely bitching and dissing that series and everything. But I don't know what the fuck. Like, if that series is not the series you wanted to see from a horror perspective, then I don't know what the fuck you could possibly want anymore.
I'll agree with Dexter, and I still need to. There's a lot of episodes of watching The Walking Dead that I haven't watched. I haven't watched all the show yet, but I think it's coming to Blu-ray here shortly, so maybe I can check the rest of it out that way. As far as like regular TV shows, like to be honest with you, like you know, episodic television and shit, I don't really. Other than Dexter, that's pretty much it.
And you watch Grey's Anatomy a lot, though.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
I'm really big into The Office. That's probably my favorite TV show right now. But the U.S. Office, of course.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, the U.K. isn't on anymore. But and one episode is the newest episode the other night. It stood out to me the most because, like, they were mentioning, like, all these different horror films, like Hysteria and mm-hmm. Hardware. And
Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, I saw you seen it. Okay.
Yeah.
Steve watches everything.
No.
And, another show I really like, because I'm not real big into reality TV, but like I like Dog the Bounty Hunter a lot. I always have. And
I always think of the fucking South Park
where her tits are like up over her head.
Yeah.
It's awesome. No, I mean, you watch those Pawn Star shows.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying as far as, like, for some reason, I'm a big fan of any of the auction shows, like Auction Hunters, Auction Kings, American.
You watch Hoarders, too, don't you?
We all watch that show. I guarantee everybody on here watches that fucking show.
I like, there's a show called Animal Hoarding that's out now. Have you seen those? Oh, my God. Well, they actually pull, like, fucking, like, petrified dead cats. Out of these women's houses, they
but
don't.
You gonna say out of their asses?
Well, they could too. There's a cat. Probably up some asses.
There's a petrified cat in my ass.
But like, there's this one crazy motherfucker that had like chickens in his house everywhere. Like he wouldn't get rid of them. He'd had like chicken shit. They had to shovel
Colonel
out.
Sanders boy.
They had to shovel the chicken shit out. but there's all kinds of shows like that that I enjoy watching.
I mean, like, when those shows came out, I used to watch all of them, too. The Addiction series, yeah. Intervention, and then the OCD show, and then they had Hoarders and all that stuff. I watched all that stuff with all those shows.
Yeah, and it just seems like, you know, the Pawn Stars has got real popular. Now there's a bunch of the Pawn television shows. There's Hardcore Pawn, which is fucking one of the most scripted shows like that I've ever seen, but it's hilarious.
But as far as like episodic TV goes, I don't really watch anything except for those two shows. I don't think you do either. Like, I mean, anything that comes on
every week,
like ABC or NBC or anything.
It's just hard for me to really remember when shit comes on and just to catch it, you know.
Well, all of my favorite shows, like, have already either they're ending that soon, or they've already ended, like the entire series has. I followed it all the time. I was a big fan of Buffy, and that show's been over for a few years, and the Smallville show's ending like here in a few weeks.
I can't believe Smallville's still fucking on.
You know what? The couple seasons ago, it was like really like slow, and I couldn't get into it. But here, like the past two seasons, I'm really back into it a lot.
Now, as far as old television shows go, I've got a lot of favorites of those.
I'm just glad Crater actually name dropped Buffy, because I like Buffy too. I got every one of the goddamn seasons. So fuck you.
All right.
Whoa. That's all point and laugh at Uncle Bill, children.
Angel too. So I really like that. Those are good shows. I mean, it's good makeup effects and everything.
Back in the day, I mean, you had the X-Files, and then after the X-Files, Buffy came on, and I thought both those shows were really, really amazing shows.
I just thought, I got into Buffy so much because it wasn't so much about vampires. You know, they covered like all like their renditions of the Universal Monsters and all these other creatures and stuff. It was really cool. Like, I remember an episode, they were like, it was like their rendition of the Frankenstein, but it was like this guy's brother that had died, and then he like brought him back to life. And stuff.
Right, and there's a lot of demons and things like that, and just a wide selection of monsters and stuff on that show.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I tell you one show that I've watched is the UK's version of Being Human. I thought that was, I really liked that show.
And that's the one with the ghost and the werewolf and something else, right? They all live together.
Yeah, I've been checking out the US version so far on Sci-Fi, and it seems pretty good. I've never seen the UK one, though.
Yeah, it's on BBC America, so I think it's going to start coming back on. The third series is coming on here within the next month or two.
And there's another reality show that I started watching. It's just been one episode so far. It started on Sci-Fi the other night called Face Off.
I heard about that, yeah.
Like, four of the people on there were, like, graduates from Tom Savini's makeup school.
Oh.
And what it is, it's a special effects competition. And the judges, I mean, one of the judges, like, is one of the effects guys that worked on Buffy for years, a lady that was a effects person on Beetlejuice and other Tim Burton films, and the guy that was, like, the director of Underworld.
Well, that guy needs to be shot. They just need to smack the fuck out of him.
I always remember that one show, though. I tried watching it for, like, 5 minutes, and I was like, God damn, this is the stupidest shit ever. Is that Scream Queen show that used to be on? I don't know if it's still on or not. VH1.
The original show was James Gunn and Shawnee Smith were like the two judges on there. And Shawnee Smith was just like, she always acted like she was fucking higher than hell on like Valiums or something. She can barely even talk.
Whoa!
And then they replaced them with, I think Tim Sullivan, and they got their 2001 Maniacs. And then I think it was last year I think the show's over now, but I don't know. I never watched the second one.
I remember watching a couple like minutes of one. And I was like, my God, this has got to be one of the dumbest fucking shows ever. Like, a lot of those ones on VH1 are just fucking insanely shitty.
But then again, I like, Celebrity Rehab and Celebrity Sex Addiction and all that stuff, but it's just me.
You ever watch, what's that one show where the Intervention? You ever watch that?
Oh, yeah, A&E.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I just like water because it's just, see how messed up these people's lives is. Like, man, I got it good.
just have your whole family there be like, stop that, stupid.
Them shows like that always make you feel better about yourself.
I try to find it. I hope to tape it when it comes on again. But it's about the stripper living in a house that her dad gave her or something. And like it's a total trashed house. And like her sister brings over some spaghetti. And like she sticks it in her mouth. And then she takes one big scoop in her hand and eats it and throws the rest of it across the thing, and like she's totally nude, and then she gets in a fight with her sister nude, and
hell, I need to meet this woman.
Yeah,
that sounds like my dream woman right there.
She like asks one of the cameramen for their cell phone, and she gets it, and then she gets in a fight with her sister, then she just throws down the guy's cell phone and breaks it.
Fuck your phone.
There was another show that used to come on. I don't know if it comes on anymore. I used to watch it though. It's called Taxi Cab Confessionals or something.
Oh yeah,
like that.
I remember that show on HBO.
Yeah.
And I used to watch a lot of stuff.
That show always seemed kind of fake to me though, because some of the stuff they would have on that show was like, some of it did seem real, but in other parts, like, they were like fucking, they were actually fucking in the backseat of a taxi cab, and there was like blowjobs going on and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Blowjob. Backseat blowjob.
That'd be so funny if that was me driving. I'd be like, oh, what y'all doing?
That's basically what the cameraman was doing. It's like, oh. He was like, glance back there. It's like, oh, uh-huh.
Won't you grab my ass a little bit and get in that and work that into the mix? Work that clit for me, bitch.
Counterclockwise.
Tug it.
Tug on it.
Tug it and tug it.
All right. Let's move on. This is the last one.
Final topic, Uncle Bill.
I think that The Right, is that the name of the movie? It just came out with Anthony Hopkins.
Heck yeah.
And that actually got me thinking about horror films with religious themes in them. And do you guys think that those films are scarier than regular horror films? Does that concept bother you at all? I know some people won't even watch those type of horror films, and they'll watch anything else.
Well, they got inherently, they got a lot of mythology behind them. And, I mean, most of the country is, you know, Christian or Catholic or what have you, so they're kind of playing to those fears and stuff like that. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, I've watched stuff from like, Bollywood, and they'll have like Hindu horror movies and stuff. So, you know, they sing to something and they, you know, somebody chases them around. So, but I mean, it doesn't bother me, but.
Buddy, is there any shit you don't want?
I've seen a little bit of everything. I'm an old man, so I've been around.
Have you seen any movies from Guam?
Not that I can think of, but I've seen the Pakistan horror movie called Hellground.
I did too. I actually did see that movie. It was awful.
I actually bought it. I was like, "Damn, what did I do with $26?"
Wow.
But I don't know. I've always been like, those are the only movies that ever really truly scare me, I guess. Or anything with those type of themes. Like when I saw, what the hell was that one we just recently watched? The Last Exorcism? That actually did kind of freak me out a little bit. The idea of the friggin' giving birth to the Antichrist and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is about those movies. The Exorcist when I was a kid, of course, that freaked me out a little bit. And there's a movie, The Antichrist, that just recently came out. And the whole concept of those type of movies is kind of freaky.
The Omen,
yeah, The Omen too.
I mean, you don't really have to explain a lot with those movies. I mean, most of these people are going to go to church and know a lot about, you know, Satan or, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's, like I say, it's got a lot of mythology that's already established, and so you don't really have to explain a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, I don't know if they scare me more, but I'm always interested in seeing those type of movies. I think The Last Exorcism, like, is one movie that a lot of people, you either love it or hate it, but I really enjoyed it quite a bit, and I think that it was, of any of the religious style movies that has been done in the last 10 years, I think it was the best one. That really sort of pushed the limits a little bit. I mean, it didn't go the levels like The Exorcist or anything, but I thought that it was, you know, they pushed the limits for 2010, I guess, when it came out.
And even movies that aren't really good movies, when they throw that shit in there, it kind of freaks me out. Like Stigmata. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Even movies like that, where that movie is not very good. It's not a very...
We all watched it, though.
Yeah.
The Ninth Gate is another one.
Yeah.
I love The Ninth Gate.
End of Days. Well, I guess that's more, with like Schwarzenegger action kind of film.
I like End of Days.
I somehow knew you would, Crater. No, I actually like that movie too. But, and the weird thing is I don't even consider myself to be a particularly religious person or anything like that. I don't go to church. I don't do anything like that.
You're heathen.
I am. I'm living in sin and all that and this and that. But there is something about the symbolism behind those types of movies, even if you don't consider yourself to be religious, I think they still, they're still a part of you from growing up and being kind of inoculated with religion, where you're still thinking when you're watching those movies that a part of that could be real. I think that, that just stays with you your whole life.
Yeah, I think another movie like that is good to bring up is Frailty.
Yeah, that movie's, yeah, it is a demon kind of movie, isn't it, with, I mean, religious.
God's hand killer, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a freaky flick. That's one of those movies.
And just flipping out, you know.
Yeah, that's one of those movies that really only works the first time you watch it. And then after, I mean, it's a fun movie still to watch back, but I mean, after you really learn the unveil in it, I don't know, it, it loses its effect a little bit. And,
I'm beat the shit out of you, Steve.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose is another one that I like quite a bit. We didn't mention on here.
You just like that because you want to fuck Jennifer Carpenter.
Well, that's true. Satanic, like, demon, possessed Jennifer Carpenter is mighty fucking hot, dude.
You got your chance now, baby. They broke up. Old Jennifer Carpenter and Dexter.
Old Redbeard. You seen him recently?
Yeah. Old Redbeard.
Grew the beard. That's not a good look for him. So, one last thing, I guess, not really a topic, but I figured it'd be good since it is still early on, 2011. What's the one movie, not even, that didn't have to be a horror movie, that you guys are looking forward to for 2011? Mine would be Scream 4.
I'd have to go with Scream 4 as well.
Mine's either the Captain America movie coming out this year.
Mm, yeah.
Or Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Sorry. Buddy, I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
Buddy,
I think you would like this one. If you just want to see a bunch of people die.
That's true. I like it. I'm a big fan of that.
He loves watching people die.
I did, man. I actually like, because I can get the HD DVDs of Harry Potter for next to nothing. I got the first one and tried to get into it. I actually tried, but I couldn't. I don't know.
What about Tron 2? When's that coming out?
Tron Legacy?
That's right. Tron Legacy 2. Tron. No, Tron Legacy 2, Tron 2. The sequel.
Oh.
Judgment Tron.
Jumbo Tron.
Jumbo Tron. Titan Tron. Yeah, there you go. I don't know, man. Like, I don't even know of anything really that spectacular coming out except Scream 4.
You know the, isn't it Spider-Man and that new one coming out? Is it this year or is it next year?
No, it's next year.
I mean, I'm really liking, you know, Thor, Captain America, even Green Lantern.
Green Lantern looks awesome.
Who's the?
I don't think that Thor looks good at all.
Who the hell's in Green Lantern then?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But how do you think Thor looks good? Because Thor, I mean, when the hell did Thor have an Australian accent?
Oh, you know we're going to have to see that now.
All right, Mr. Stormbomber.
Come on, I'm going to give you. I'm going to have
a. They should have hired Triple H to be Thor. That would have been killer.
Yeah, they should have hired Triple H to be Conan after that one outfit he wore.
Yeah. He'll never live that down.
But I guess that's it, guys. I appreciate you taking the time out, and we'll be talking to you both here again soon. I guess we'll see you both at the Horror Hound Show in Indianapolis here in a couple months.
All right.
Until then, y'all keep your peters moist, all right?
Bye.
See
you.
Later. It's a shameful thing.